Do we remember the Isaiah? Unto us there shall be a child born. His name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, and Almighty God, and Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Actually, the four Gospel has a lot of content try to illustrate these four titles of Jesus Christ. So he, and the more we understand him, the more you will find out that he is the utmost treasure in our life. Let me ask you a question. When you have problem, to whom did you turn to for help? When you have problem, to whom did you turn to ask for some kind of advice? Yeah. Do you have problem?
I have a lot of problems.
Yeah, a lot of problems.
Yeah.
You are a social worker. You are helping others to solve the problem. Okay. Where there is man, there is problem, right? Anywhere there is man, there is problem. But where there is God, there is answer. That's the wonderful part. If you have a problem, you cannot find the answer. That's very painful. A problem without answer, very painful. At least I heard two testimonies. One testimony is a lady went to the hairdressing, that kind of beauty shop, tried to make the hair and prepare herself, try to end up her life. And in that some kind of beauty shop, met one of our sisters and preached the gospel to her. And eventually, she did not commit a suicide, and she come back to Christ, and her problem was solved. There was another incident. One of the sisters was working in a restaurant as a waitress. One day, she saw that another lady feel very sad and come to the restaurant minutes before the restaurant was closed. And she ordered some delicious meal. And then, out of curiosity, his sister approached her, tried to talk with her. And she found out that this may be her last meal, and she is going to kill herself because some kind of marital problem. And the sister preached the gospel to her, and her problem was solved, and then live a very good life. So where there is man, there is problem, and where there is God, there is answer. And do you know what is the answer of God to human beings' problem? Hope. Any other answer? What is the answer of God to humans' problem? Okay. Any other answer? What is the answer from God to humans' problem? You can never imagine. So simple. Peace. Okay. Anything else? Life?
Worry about
life? Okay. only part of the answer. What is the answer of human beings' problem from God? Bible? No. It's related. No. The answer of the human beings' problem from God is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. Right? If you study the Bible more, you will find out. Where there's God, there's an answer. And the answer of God to your problem is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has the answer, and Jesus himself is the answer. So wonderful. So no wonder he is the treasure. So if you have problem now, you turn to this and turn to that. You pay a lot of money to see the psychiatrist, right? And still cannot find any cure. Then the last resort is come back to Jesus. Shall we turn to Isaiah chapter 30? Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 15. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. In returning, you shall be saved, and you will have rest. In returning. Returning to where? Returning to God. You will be saved. If you have problem, returning to God, you will be saved from your problem. Do you know? When the beginning God created the universe, God see everything is good, right? Right? Only one thing is not very good, is what? Man live alone, that's not very good. That's all. Everything is good. So in the Garden of Eden, there's no problem because everything is good. Where comes the problem? After Adam was driven out of the garden, that is the beginning of the problem. Because human being separate from God, that is the beginning of problem. So you have a lot of problem. Why? Because the fundamental reason is because our life is so far away from God. Then you ask the question, are you saying after you believe in Jesus, you have no problem? Yes, of course we have problem, but gradually through the help of Jesus Christ, your problem can be solved. Even if a problem cannot be solved, you can get something out of your problem. And the problem itself becomes not so important anymore. For example, Paul, he suffered physically. Some kind of suffering the Bible did not mention. Maybe because of eye problem or some kind of problem. And he prayed 3 times. God did not remove that kind of pain. So the problem remained there. But Paul can transcend that problem and gain something from the problem. So the problem become a help to his spiritual strength. So if he did not have a Jesus Christ, then the problem is a problem. And he cannot get anything out of the problem. And the problem will become a curse. Will become a pain of his life. The answer of human beings' problem is Jesus Christ. By returning, you will be saved from your problem. By returning, you will have the rest. Because your problem has been saved, then you are going to have rest. So I give you this kind of question to think about in order that we can go into the first one. The title of Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful counselor. Wonderful. What means wonderful? His answer is so simple and out of imagination. You cannot believe. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. In the First Corinthians, talking about a lot of wise men cannot believe Jesus. Why? Because Jesus' answer is so simple. The answer to your problem is the cross. The salvation is the cross. Do you know? The society is chaotic. Chaotic because of drug, because of sexual immorality, because of the divorce. What is the answer? The salvation in the cross. So the simple, the answer is so simple, nobody can believe. Jesus Christ has the wisdom, and he is the answer. So if you really have the problem in your life, nobody can help you, Jesus can help you to solve your problem. He's a wonderful counselor. Now, counselor is trying to help us to solve our problem. So I'm going to discuss one by one, since we are going to know Jesus, the relation between Jesus and us, and his words. I'm going to study from the book of John, talking about how can Jesus be wonderful counselor. Do we have the feeling from the day when you come to the church, do we have the feeling that Jesus is irrelevant to my life? One day I visited a sister, actually the sister graduated from some of the school in San Francisco. How come you didn't want to come to the church? He said, every day I come to the church, I feel that Jesus Christ is irrelevant to me. So I don't come to the church, or I come to the church that make no difference. Do you have the feeling Jesus is irrelevant to you? No. The reason I believe, the only reason I want to believe is because in the future I want to go to heaven. That's all. So I'm right now 20 years old. Maybe I will die at 80. And I believe Jesus, I have to endure another 60 years to do some kind of responsibility, come and pray and work for him. Only purpose, go to heaven. Do you have this kind of feeling? If you do, then your religious belief will become a burden to you. Can you carry this kind of burden for another 60-70 years? Probably not, right? So a lot of people, some of the Christians try to live a lifestyle by their own way, because they feel that Jesus control me, I lose the freedom. I want to control myself, I enjoy myself, my own life. But actually it is not like this. Jesus is relevant to everybody, to your everyday life. Really. If you look carefully into he's a wonderful counselor. Okay. In the book of John, how many times did Jesus, how many self-introduction in the book of John? Do you know? How many self-introduction in the book of John? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 9, 10. How many? How many self-introduction in the book of John? This morning I already give you the whole assignment, all right, to read the four gospels at least once in these 2 days. But I still see a lot of you so many times to walk around, talk around. Maybe you already learned some kind of speed reading. Okay. How many times did Jesus introduce himself, self-introduction in the book of John? 7 times. Seven times. And nobody has ever introduced himself like Jesus introduced himself. If you see anybody in the world like Jesus introduced himself, I think you will feel, oh, this person is out of mind. This person is pitiful. How did Jesus introduce himself? I am. Start from I am, right? John chapter 6, verse 35. I am the bread of life. Have you ever encountered anybody? Who are you? I am the bread of your life. I don't know, what are you talking about? I am maybe a bread maker. I run a bakery store. I am the bread. What are you talking about? You are the bread. And the second introduction, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We heard a lot of people say, I bring the light, the torch light. Never heard anybody say, I am the light. The third introduction, I am a good shepherd. The fourth introduction, I am the resurrection. The fifth introduction, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The sixth introduction, I am, what is the sixth? I am the gate. The seventh introduction, I am the true vine. Okay, now let us discuss one by one. How come this self-introduction is the answer to the, your problem of your life. Okay. Let me ask you a question. We start from the question and then you can start to relate. If you take the Bible aside, put the Bible aside, no need to give an official answer. From your own feeling, your own experience, what can really satisfy you in your life? What can really satisfy you? I don't want to have official answer. Just your experience, your own feeling. What can really satisfy you? Yes, this official answer from the Bible.
This is not official.
For you. Okay. That's good. Thank God. You see, right now in the summer season, right, you have about 2 months. Have you heard about the young kids say, "I get bored"? Have you heard of it? Sometimes you yourself have this kind of feeling. So summer vacation, the parents have to give the children money. Give the money to buy some CD, the money to go to a movie, the money to get excited. So it will kill the boring. Get bored. This is a very common feeling in our life. How can we satisfy our life? In the United States, a lot of different phenomena can tell you people are thirsty, people are hungry, people are empty in their heart. Their heart is not fulfilled. You see, millions of people become alcoholics during the wine. One day I was in the airplane, I tried to order a bottle of red wine. It's a little bitter feeling. How come people like to drink? I cannot understand. The wine is a little bitter. And they like to drink the wine. Maybe because of when the alcohol circulates your body, you have some kind of feeling, feel very comfortable, right? The second is what? They use a drug. They also because they are getting bored. They're using the drug, not only the blue collar class, even the white collar class, they start to use the drug. The third is sexual immorality, especially the young kids. Why? Because when they stay in their home, the parents are busy make their own living, and then leave them alone. They cannot feel the warmth or the love of the parents. So the most easy way to kill the boredom is get involved with sexual activity. And that's the very easiest way. A lot of things happen indicated that people's life is getting bored. And how can you solve the problem? If you don't come back to the Bible, how can you solve the problem? Don't see the movie star. It seems to make a lot of money. If you look into some inside story, most of the movie stars get drugged, use drugs, and heavy drinking. Their heart is empty. Their heart is empty. They have fame, but they don't have inner satisfaction. How? No solution. Yeah, no solution. The only one way, come back to Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the bread of life." John chapter 6. Let's come back to John chapter 6. Verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." In a very plain language, he who comes to me will never boring, will never have the feeling of emptiness, will never have the feeling of meaningless, because I am the bread of life. Okay? We translate in a very plain language. Let me ask you another question. One day, a member asked me, it is okay to go to Las Vegas. Let me ask you the question. Is it okay to go to Las Vegas? I want to answer for you. It is okay to go to Las Vegas? Yes or no? Those who feel yes, let me vote. Those who feel yes, raise your hand. Oh, okay. Those who feel no, raise your hand. Oh, okay. If it is no, then you go, become what? You commit sin. Right? Right? Oh. If it is yes, it means every day you go, nothing wrong. Yes. Oh. I think the answer is not yes or no. The answer is that necessary for you to go there? Oh. If you've never been there, you try to understand what is a contemporary Sodom looks like. It's okay. You just go there to see the changing of the light and the casino, that kind of atmosphere. You try to understand what's that. It's okay. But if you feel that without going to Las Vegas, you will feel boring, or after you get there, all of a sudden you become energetic. Oh. Then something missing in your life. What is missing in your life? Jesus Christ is not in you. It's not in you. Because Jesus Christ is not in you, so you need to rely on that kind of stimulation, sensual stimulation, to get excited from whatever you see, the show, right, in the nightclub, the gamble, that kind of excitement, and that kind of music, and that kind of atmosphere. You try to use the kind of sensual stimulation, try to cure your boring. That's indication Jesus is not in you. So we are not saying you can or cannot. We are saying, is that necessary for you? Do you need to go there constantly? Okay. So, as a Christian, when Paul say, if eating the meat, let other people fall, I will not eat the meat. So even though it's not right or wrong, but if you go there often and let other people misled and follow your life pattern, it's not very good. Okay. This is only one of the examples. The second example, during the summer, is that necessary for you to sit in front of TV all day long? Is that necessary for you to rent so many videotapes? Is that necessary for you? If your answer is yes, that's another indication. Jesus is not in you. Your heart is empty. Your heart is very poor. Not the poor in spirit, or in Matthew chapter, the beatitude, and poor in spirit, no. Your heart is empty without Jesus, not in poor in spirit. So as a Christian, yes, you can watch the TV, but it is you who control the TV. It is the TV who control you, do you know? If your heart is empty, then TV is in control of you. You don't pray and you don't read the Bible. You feel nothing wrong. If the TV breaks down for 1 week, you don't know how to live your life. That's the indication of the poor spirituality. So a lot of things happen in our life. Try to reflect how much our spirituality is. Where is the spirit? Our spirituality, but we fail to pay attention to this kind of signs. Some of the Christians, yes, they come to the church and watch the service, but every day, get drunk in the entertainment. We are not saying entertainment is no good, but you have to ask a question, what is the purpose of entertainment? Entertainment is try to refresh yourself so that after you feel relaxed, you can work more efficiently. We are not living for entertainment. But nowadays, a lot of people is living for entertainment. Their life purpose is to entertain themselves, make themselves happy. That's not right. Oh, so this is the indication. Oh, if you don't know whether your heart is filled by the is empty, or you feel your heart is fulfilled, now this is some of the very important signs to indicate your spirituality. Oh, so Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never thirst, will never hungry." Now, I remember last summer, Elizabeth Church tried to held a youth spiritual convocation in the current building. You know, they all live in the basement. About 70 or 80 people crowded in the basement. The air is no good. The life condition, living condition is no good. So even the church council member proposed we have to rent another location. No. But it's a miracle, after the spiritual convocation, a lot of people feel it's so wonderful for us to be here. Oh. The living condition in the church cannot compare with your own family. Your family, you have everything. The church has nothing. And how come in the end of the spiritual gathering, everybody feel we are so wonderful to be here? The only one answer is because you already invite Jesus into your heart. So you are satisfied. And that's exactly the meaning, I am the bread of the life. Oh. So once you are satisfied, you know, your monthly bill can cut off a lot of bill. Oh. You can cut off the cable TV. Oh. You can cut off the videotape renting. Oh. You can cut off the bill of go to the movie. Oh. I also know some of the church, right after the spiritual convocation, a group of the youth go to see the movie. What is the logic behind? Why, in spiritual convocation, we pray so hard. Right now, let us relax. I cannot understand. You pray so hard and you want to go to relax and see the movie. Oh. If you really, Jesus is really deep in your heart, you have the feeling of that kind of sweetness. You have the feeling you have been touched. Sometimes you will shed tears. And that kind of feeling just incompatible to the feeling in the movie house is different, totally different. Oh. So if a youth, after the spiritual convocation, right after the Holy Communion, and clean up and old drive whole car drive to the Las Vegas or movie house, I'm questioning whether he was filled by the Holy Spirit during the spiritual convocation. If you are really filled by the Holy Spirit, if Jesus really deep in you, you have no test, you have no feeling about that at all, because that's different feeling. Now, one of the feeling is from God, the quietness and the sweetness, the inner feeling. The another thing is a stimulation, boom, 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 that kind of stimulation. It's different. No. So if you say, can we listen rock and roll? I cannot give you an answer. The Bible do not have the rock and roll. Oh, some of you even ask, Jesus changed water into the wine. If that time there was a cigarette, Jesus would change the cigarette that everybody smoke. I don't think so. Right. How come this rock and roll is not appropriate? The nature of the rock and roll is different from the nature of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will make a person become very peaceful. Make very quiet. For when a person have a very bad temper, always because their heart is empty and their heart is hardened. After you pray and been filled by the Holy Spirit, your heart is calm and gentle. You don't get angry anymore. But if you listen that kind of rock and roll, that stimulates your desire and it tends to become very violent, right? So you see, every year there's a place, a lot of people gathering, Woodstock, right? They gather in there, a lot of youth, thousands, even tens of thousands, and eventually what? They fight. Why they fight? Because they listen to that rock and roll, and they follow that rhythm, and then they start to dance, they start to pick, and still feel not satisfied. Then what? The more thing they want to get excited is to hit somebody, to see somebody crying and feel very excited. So that nature is different. That's different. So Jesus said, I am the bread of the life. Oh, the only answer to answer your emptiness of your heart. Jesus, he is the bread of your life. No. And how can Jesus satisfy your will? No. That's what you have to think about. You think about next section, I'm going to ask you. Jesus is the bread of life. You can take one bread and eat. Where is Jesus? I cannot see Jesus. How can you become your bread? Oh, please think about. Oh. Now, this is the first question. The second question. Jesus is the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but in the light of life. Did you have the experience? You drive a car, all of a sudden, the headlight did not work. What are you going to do? In the evening, you drive in the countryside, all of a sudden, the headlight doesn't work. What are you going to do? Well, night vision, that kind of grass. Yes, it's happened. If you have that kind of night vision, that kind of grass. But if you don't, you have to stop. Because you don't know where you're driving. Without light, we will lose our direction. Now, let us come to the second question to think about. What is the purpose of life? We always heard about this question. What is the purpose of life? One day, there was a junior youth student come to attend our spiritual evangelical service. And that evening was talking about the purpose of the life. And that youth went back to home, asked their parents, his parents. He say, do you know what is the purpose of life? What is the answer? The father say, young kids, you are students. Just get a good grade. Don't ask this question. I think the father has probably had two reasons to say so. The first reason is father cannot answer. What is the purpose of life? And the second reason probably is true. You are students. Your current job is to get a good grade. That's all. But if you think about deeper, what is the purpose of the life? Put the Bible aside. What is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? You are still young, you have to think. One day I asked a children class, the kids. He did not think. Within 5 seconds, he gave me the answer. The purpose of life is to be happy. I'm amazed. These young kids, really, very smart. The purpose of life is to be happy. They said, really, everybody in the world, the purpose of life is to make yourself happy. Is that right? Do you subscribe this kind of idea? Really, a lot of people, they think that maybe tomorrow I will die. So today, while I am alive, I am to make myself happy. That's all. Once die, everything finished. So nowadays, people look about money. It's different from the last generation. When last generation, they meant money, they want to save money. For my kids, for my family, for my grandkids. For this generation, no, I make money so I can use money. If I don't use the money, why I make money? For myself. The purpose of my life is to make myself happy. But if you think about something deeper, then there is no answer. For 1,000 years, theologian somebody study the theology, psychology, philosophy. They just try to think about no answer. What is the purpose of life? First, you don't know where you are coming. The second, you don't know where you are going. How do you know where you should do in this world? So there is no way to understand the purpose of life. Right? If you know in the future you are going to be a computer programmer, then when you are in school, you know what you are going to do, right? Right? If you want to be a computer programmer, while you are in school, you have to study what? Computer science. Right? If you want to be a computer programmer, then you cannot study the medical science. It's different. Because you know where are you going. So where are you going? No answer. And Jesus said, I am the light of life. Once you come to Jesus, all of a sudden you realize the goal of your life. And once you know the goal of your life, then you know how to live your life. Because the goal is so clear. What is the goal of our life? First Thessalonians, chapter 1. First Thessalonians, chapter 1. Verse 9 and verse 10. For they themselves declare concerning us with manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. Verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers from the wrath to come. If you analyze these two verses, the purpose of life is to turn back to God, is to serve God, and is to wait for his second coming. That's all. So other than this, you cannot find the purpose of your life. So the purpose of your life cannot depart from God himself. Without God, your life has no purpose. So the light of the world, Jesus is the light of the world, will give you the direction, guide your direction. So in the four gospel, at least two times, you can find the words, locked, lost. At least two times Jesus mentioned about lost. Do you remember? In what two occasions Jesus mentioned about lost? At least two occasions, lost. Okay. Lost coin, lost sheep. Many occasions, but I want to use two occasions to explain this. The first occasion, Jesus mentioned about lost is a prodigal son, right? When eventually the prodigal son come back to the father, the father proclaimed, and then Jesus proclaimed, he was lost, but right now he is found, lost and found. Where did the prodigal son lost? Where did the prodigal son lost? Lost in the world. Generally speaking, lost in the world. If you want to pinpoint, where did the prodigal son lost? Lost in so-called freedom. Freedom, okay? Because when he deep at home, the father trying to give him a lot of commandments, do this, do that, get up and sit down and eat. But when he moved very far away from the father, what kind of lifestyle he want to live? He want to spend any type of money he want to spend. Nobody in control of him. That's called freedom, according to the prodigal son's thinking. But eventually he get lost. So he become poor. And his status was down to live together with the pigs, and his livelihood had problems. So when he come back to the father, it's lost and found. So we lost because what? We want to be free from God. Either you become the slave of God or you become the slave of sin. There's no way so-called free. So this is the first one, lost. And Jesus is the light. So when you come back to Jesus, you can see, so-called freedom in the world actually is lost. If you don't pursue the freedom in the Bible, you try to pursue the freedom in the world, you are lost. Oh. So don't think, United States, I'm very free, I want to do anything I want. If I don't feel like it, nobody can do, let me do it. If you, I feel like it, nobody can say no. Oh, I'm free. No. When you are pursuing freedom, you are really lost. Oh, you see, I have the freedom to smoke, right? But after you smoke for a while, you get addicted. Oh, you don't have freedom. So anything you consider have freedom, eventually you will lose the freedom. No. The only freedom is you can enjoy it in Jesus Christ. Totally free. Free from the bondage of sin. So he is a light. When you come to him, all of a sudden you can see the nature of every matter. The second time Jesus talked about lost in the example of Zacchaeus. He went to the house of Zacchaeus and talked to the Zacchaeus. And he proclaimed he was lost. And right now he come back, turn back. Where did Zacchaeus lost? Huh?
Money laundering.
Yeah. Zacchaeus was lost in making the money. Only thing I want is money. So he used a lot of illegal way to make money, even against his conscience. Even somebody look at him like a sinner. He don't care. As long as I have money, I don't care. He was lost. Not until Jesus went into his house and give him the truth and give him the light. All of a sudden, he was realized, I was lost. So he said, I will give half of what I have to the poor. If I cheat anybody, I will return four times. If Zacchaeus really did according to what he said, maybe he will file bankrupt. Oh, but that doesn't matter. My life is not for money anymore. I already see the light. I already see the direction of my life. I'm not going to lose anymore. Oh. So when a person comes to Jesus, all of a sudden you will find out your direction of life is very clear. Now, he is the light of the world that can guide the direction of our life. The second, the light can referring to sin and holiness. The darkness referring to sin and holiness. John chapter 3. When we study the self-introduction, we already studied the book of John. We'll cover part of the book of John. John chapter 3. Verse 19. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 30. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Verse 21. But he who does the truth come to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Now, if your house has been broken in for several times, you seek advice from the expert. They will tell you what? Behind your yard or in front of your yard, everywhere, put on 100 watts of bulb. Why? Because in the evening, if everywhere is very light, the thief look at, oh, that house is very bright, don't go. Oh. Because while you are breaking the house, somebody will see, oh, that thief is breaking the ball. Oh. I think a few years ago, about 10 years ago, New York in Manhattan, one or two nights, all of a sudden the power failed. Oh. The whole city turned into the darkness. A lot of bankrupt. A lot of robbery happened. They break the window of the grocery store, department store, and rob. There is darkness, there is sin. So Jesus said, I'm the light. If you live in Jesus, if Jesus live in you, you will gradually away from sin. But the same thing happened. Somebody is going to gradually keep a distance from you. I don't know whether you have this experience. After you believe in Jesus, you feel, oh, your former friend, one by one, try to keep a distance from you. Do you have this kind of feeling? If you have this feeling, thank God. But after you believe in Jesus, if your older friends smoking, drinking, dancing, and coming out outing, that kind of friends still linger together with you, something wrong with you. Why? Because you already come into light, and the darkness still gather together with you. Maybe you are not transformed yet. If you don't smoke anymore, those who are smoking, one day will feel very bad about you. Because your behavior of not smoking will become a criteria to condemn your sin. One day, if you don't commit adultery, those who keep on committing adultery will not welcome you anymore. Because your holy lifestyle will become a standard to judge them. So they will get rid of you, so their conscience will feel clear, feel more comfortable, because everybody is the same. Yeah, if you are different, they'll make their conscience become guilty. So when the person convert to light, the darkness will never accept this person. Really, exactly happened. But when a church member gradually they slide backward into darkness, all of a sudden you find out those who are good friends already disappear from them, say bye-bye to them. Because you live that kind of lifestyle, I don't want to follow you. So Jesus is the light. The next one, the light is try to let us discern, see things more clear. That's called light. If in darkness, $100 bill and $1 bill, you can never tell. But when the light is on, you can discern the value. If it is in darkness, whether this is an artificial diamond or this is a real diamond from South Africa, you don't know. It's darkness. But when it is light, you can tell. So when you are living under the light of Jesus Christ, what is the true value? What is the false value? Very soon you can differentiate. So in your life, you know how to pursue the true value, something have true value. And you will never follow others to pursue something which has no value at all. Because Jesus is the light. So this is a good answer. So Jesus is irrelevant to us, really is relevant to every day's life, every part of your life. The next question, the time is almost up, I just want to raise a question that you ask. How can you have a sense of security? How can you feel secured, a very peaceful mind, a secure feeling? How? If you put away the Bible, how can you make yourself feel secure, a feeling of safety, secure, and peace? You think about, next section we are going to continue.